believe it's the 243rd or 44, something like that, of our nation. It came about as a result of a group of people who wanted to get out from underneath oppression, wanted to be able to worship in their own way, as they felt led of the Lord. The independence, the Declaration of Independence, was signed on July 4th of 1776. It was signed after the 13 colonies, which would become the nation of the United States, had been at war with Great Britain for approximately 1 year. What is liberty? It'd be fun tonight to just pause and go around and let you give your thought of what is liberty. Another word we could use for that is freedom. I decided to see what Dr. Webster thought liberty was. And he said, first, he says, the quality or state of being free. Then underneath that, he gave a number of sub-definitions. He said, freedom from physical restraint, freedom from arbitrary or despotic control, the positive enjoyment of various social, political, or economic rights and privileges, the power of choice. I guess in summary, we could say liberty speaks of one who at one time was under bondage or under control or oppression of another. You know, one who is in jail or in prison is in bondage. One nation that is under the control or the oppression of another nation is in bondage. One who is controlled by sin is in bondage. And no matter what the bondage is, no matter what the control or the oppression might be, it is a desire, or at least I hope it is, a desire to be out from under that oppression, that bondage. And when you come out from underneath that, you are free. You have liberty. And this evening, I'd like to look at this matter of liberty in two different areas. Before we do, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this nation that you have given to us. We thank you, Lord, for the freedom, the liberty that we do have at this time. And I pray, God, that you might be pleased to allow us to continue having the liberty that we enjoy now. I pray, Lord, as we look into your word this evening, that you would guide and direct. May you accomplish your perfect will. I ask, God, you protect my lips, that I not speak anything amiss, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. First of all, looking at it from the thought of civil liberty. You know, the holiday which is observed this coming Thursday is a national holiday. As I mentioned, there were a group of individuals in the land of England, the nation of England, that were under the control of and facing religious oppression at that in that nation at that particular time. And it was their choice, the choice that they made, to leave the nation of England and to seek a new land where they would have a greater freedom, the liberty to worship as they wished. But there were other reasons that they left England and came to the United States, but that was one of the primary, if not the primary, reason that they left England. And they landed on the shores of North America, basically the land of the United States. You know, England was not willing to let them have freedom right away, at least not total freedom. And as a result of that, a war took place. The Revolutionary War, or the American War of Independence, a war that lasted for over 8 years. But the Declaration of Independence was signed in the second year of that particular war. And as they signed that particular document, there were a number of statements, reasons stated by the 13 colonies why they had left England and wanted to get out from under the control of the British government. And one of those reasons, one of the statements that was made there, was that they would have the authority to govern by the people. They felt that government ought to be by the people and not by kings. And they desired to have that, of course, along with the religious freedom as well. They made a statement in that document, all people are created equal. They have the rights to live, to life, to liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. How many of you have ever heard the statement made, freedom is not free? I imagine everyone here has probably heard that statement made one time or another. And that is certainly true concerning civil or national freedom. We as a nation have enjoyed freedom, liberty, for over 200 years. As I said, I think it's around 243, 244 years. In the Revolutionary War, though there is not a definite number that is given, they say that it's approximately 25,000 individuals, patriots, that lost their lives in that war. Now, all of it was in direct connection with the battle itself. There were those who lost their lives because of other causes. One cause was a disease that was brought on by the weather conditions. You know, in the middle of the winter, it can be quite cold. When I was in the service stationed over there in Germany, we had to go out and maneuver, so I am thankful I never had to go to war. But we went out in maneuvers in the middle of the winter in Germany, and it can get quite cold there. And most of the poor guys, they slept in pup tents. You set up your old pup tent on the ground, it could be quite cold. Now, I was spoiled. I drove Jeep for the commanding officer, and I'm quite short. I am tall enough that my feet do reach the ground, but I could sleep in the Jeep trailer. And so I built a covering on the Jeep trailer. It is about 2 feet above the size of the trailer. And while the other poor guys laid there on that cold ground, I crawled in that, and I had a door on the side. I crawled in that trailer, and I slept real nice. And I found out if you get some instant heat, and you line your steel pot, your helmet, with the aluminum foil, it reflects that heat off, and it just gets nice and warm in there. But, you know, in the Revolutionary War, there were people that lost their lives because of the conditions of the weather. There were others that lost their lives because of the deplorable conditions as prisoners of war. And so freedom is not free. Ever since that time, there have been other wars and others who have stood and defended our nation and lost their lives in the First World War, Second World War, Korea, Vietnam, Iraq, Afghanistan, and so forth. I remember shortly after my wife and I were married in the first church that we attended, there was a young man, he and his new bride, they had gotten married just very shortly before he had to go off to war, and he did not come back. And, you know, freedom is not free. And the challenge for you and I today is to stand fast in the liberty. I might change that just a little bit. To stand fast for the liberty that was purchased for us by the blood of many young men and young women. Not be engaged again, entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Yes, celebrate this week the national freedom we enjoy. And at the same time, pray. Pray that we might retain the freedom that we have and to do all that we possibly can legally and reasonably, that we might continue to have that freedom. I trust that we'll never take the freedom lightly. We will not take it for granted. But thank God for America. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. So we looked at civil liberty. But I want to look at a liberty, a freedom that is even of greater importance, of much greater value than national freedom. Oh, I thank God for national freedom. But there is a freedom even greater, and that is Christian freedom. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. As I said, there is a liberty. There's a freedom, more important, greater value than a civil liberty. It's a Christian liberty, spiritual liberty, eternal liberty. This is the liberty that Paul is speaking of here in, as he wrote to the church at Galatia. The freedom from Jewish rites, the freedom from Jewish ceremonies, the freedom from the law, also the liberty and the freedom from the power and guilt of sin. Just as one is saved by grace through faith, as Paul tells us there in Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 and 9, it's not by the law, it's not by what we do, but what he has done for us. Just as we're set free by grace through faith, let us not come back under the law again. Being saved by grace, we live by grace. Grace which is sufficient for us. Now, I'm not discounting the law tonight. I'm not discounting the Old Testament. There are many great truths, principles laid out for us that can enhance our life spiritually, can help us as we walk the road of life. As we go through the battles of life, as we go through the joys of life. But when one is saved, they are brought out from under the yoke of servitude to sin. And they put on the yoke of Christ, the new yoke, that which is much lighter, that which is much easier. As we are told in Matthew in chapter 11, in verses 28 down through verse 30, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. That word easy in that verse, my yoke is easy. That word easy gives the thought of kind or gracious. His yoke is not a heavy yoke. His yoke is not a yoke of bondage, but his yoke is gracious. It is kind. But as we think of this matter of liberty, the Christian liberty, there's a couple of truths concerning this Christian liberty that I'd like us to look at tonight. First of all, liberty received. Notice what Paul says here in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Wherewith Christ hath made us free. Sin places an individual in a condition of strong bondage. They are controlled by it. I say they, we. If we're not careful, are controlled by it. In Proverbs in chapter 5 and verse 22, his own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. In John chapter 8 and verse 34, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And I'm sure each one of us here tonight have experienced that. We understand that, the control that sin can have in our lives. And yet, Paul says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Christ has for us broken the yoke of sin and provided a true liberty, a true freedom for us. In John chapter 8 and verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. That is where we find true liberty. That is where we find true freedom. When the Son sets us free, we shall be free indeed. The Lord used His Word, the living Word, Himself, but also the written Word, to bring us unto the place that we are set free from the bondage of sin and given us the freedom that is ours in salvation. Again, in John chapter 8 and verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Pastors emphasize time and time again the importance of the Word of God in our lives. To be reading the Word of God, to be listening to the Word of God, to be obeying the Word of God. The freedom that we can gain through it. It's sad today that there are many churches that have turned away from the truth, and therefore they cannot find the freedom that God has provided. Paul said it is by the gospel that we are set free. It is by the gospel that we are saved in Romans in chapter 1 and verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which you also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Paul goes on there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and the next several verses, and he explains what the gospel is, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and He rose again according to the Scriptures. It is that gives us the ability to gain freedom. Yes, salvation for you and I is free. Freedom from the bondage of sin is a gift given to us. As Paul says there in Romans in chapter 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But you know, that gift was purchased. Freedom is not free. The freedom we have in Christ is a freedom which was purchased on the cross of Calvary by the Lord Jesus Christ shedding His blood for you and for me. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, purchased by His blood. God would only accept one payment, and that was a payment of Christ's undefiled blood. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Paul's challenge, stand fast in the liberty whereby or wherewith Christ hath made us free. Don't go back under the bondage of sin. Don't go back under the bondage of the law. Do not go back, but stand fast. Stand firm in the liberty. The liberty received from Christ is a liberty that is retained through Christ. We cannot, in our own power, retain that liberty. We must continue to look to Christ. You know, the very moment that we are saved, we become indwelt by the Spirit of God. And through Him, we can retain our freedom. As Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Continue in the law of liberty through being obedient to the Word of God. James tells us in James chapter 1 and verse 25, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." You and I sit here, you sit here, I stand here, in liberty, a civil liberty, a national liberty, a liberty that was given to us, a liberty that we have received as a gift purchased by the blood of men and women who gave themselves to give us that liberty. But we also are here tonight, if we have put our faith and trust in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, enjoying the liberty that has been given to us as a gift by the shedding of Christ's blood. He purchased our liberty for us. So liberty is that which is received. It's a gift. But then secondly, I want us to look at liberty's restrictions. Now that sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? Liberty's restrictions. Freedom has its limitations. I have the freedom to drive on any highway in the United States. Any highway I desire to drive, well, I maybe ought to qualify that, except when construction is going on. You know, they often say there's two seasons in Wisconsin, winter and construction. But, you know, I have the freedom. I can drive on any highway I want, but I cannot drive any way I want on those highways. I have restrictions. Yes, I'm free to drive down I-90 and I-39, but I'm limited to 70 miles an hour. Well, between here and Beloit, 60 miles an hour. Freedom has its restrictions. Freedom has its limits. And the liberty I have in Christ is a liberty not to do what I want to do, not to live as I want to live, but it is a freedom that has been given to me that I might live under the direction and the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ. A liberty to serve, to live in a way that is going to be pleasing unto the Lord. A liberty given to me that I might serve the Lord as He directs in my life. This liberty is not a rule, but a principle of life lived in a way that I can please the Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 16, "As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God." The liberty we have in Christ is not a liberty to live contrary to the Word of God. In Galatians, in chapter 5, and in verse number 13. "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." The liberty we have in Christ, a allows me to do certain things lawfully, but are not always expedient. As Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. He repeats that almost identically in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 23, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. There are freedoms that I have that are not always profitable. They do not always edify. And so I need to realize there is a limitation in my freedom. In fact, they can at times become a stumbling block. Therefore, be willing for that moment to forego that freedom. Again, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful I'm an American. I'm thankful I live in this nation. It's not perfect. There's a lot of problems in our nation. There are those who are working today to eliminate the liberties, the freedoms that we enjoy as a nation. But I'm still thankful for the liberty that is mine in this nation. And I need to stand fast for that liberty. But thank God for the liberty I have in Christ. The liberty that he purchased on the cross of Calvary. And I trust that I will not become complacent in it, but rather to use that liberty to serve the Lord, to serve one another. Again, as Paul said, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Let's pray. Our dear gracious God and Heavenly Father, how thankful we are tonight for the liberty that you have given us as a nation. And I pray, dear Father, that you would help us to stand fast in and for that liberty. That our children, grandchildren even, would have the joy of worshiping according to your dictates, according to the Word of God. And Lord, I thank you so much tonight for the liberty that I have in Christ. And I pray, dear Father, tonight, if there happens to be one in this service that has never accepted the free gift of freedom, freedom from the bondage of sin, freedom of a home in heaven, that tonight they would come, allow someone to open God's Word and show them how they might be saved. Thank you again, Lord, for the liberty that is ours, both nationally and spiritually. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.